Hello, hello. Welcome to the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
So we just wanted to check in with you guys real quick. I know it's kind of a quiet season for the NFL right now, but we wanted to give our takes on a couple of Patriots items that have come down. Did you see opening day at Fenway yesterday?
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Well, they just recovered the Super Bowl jersey. And, like, he had this big press conference or whatever, like a little ceremony with Bob Kraft, who gave him the jerseys and all well and good. Brady brings him to Fenway to show all the fans, and Gronk steals it.
Gronk jumps up like a kid, takes it, starts running. Brady chasing after him. It is pretty funny. I mean, the guy looked super unathletic chasing after him.
Oh.
I mean, I know he's not trying hard, but this is like the best quarterback ever, and the guy just doesn't look very athletic out there.
He doesn't move very smoothly.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but Gronk doing that, and I think like a week ago, maybe.
Not even. It was like Sunday, WWE.
Yeah, he was in WrestleMania. And all
WWE,
signs.
WWE, yeah.
Yeah, WWE. What do you think it was?
It WWF? Used to be WWF when we were kids.
That's way back, man. World Wildlife Foundation.
Yeah.
So, but all signs point to Gronk being totally fine. He looks
good. Like he better be fine.
Yeah. I mean, he had what? Some procedure on his back?
He body slammed some dude at WWE, so he better be fine.
And evidently the Patriots were totally okay with it, which to everybody seems like an anti-Patriots thing.
Yeah, well, they're happy with what they got out of him, so.
Yeah, they're cool with it. So that was like 5 months ago that he had that surgery, maybe even four. Four would bring it back to the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good recovery. He says he's a full go for the off-season program, which they won't let him participate in because he doesn't do those things.
Yeah.
No preseason games, no full contact for him, none of that.
Yeah, and I mean, it was funny. I was watching some Patriots, you know, some of Brady's best comebacks. It was a YouTube video the other day, and just how pivotal Gronk is when he is out there. Like some of those, just his big catches in those games, and the fact that we didn't have him in the playoffs last year, and now we're going to have him again, plus Cooks. It's just, what are people going to do?
Yeah, it's insane.
They're not going to be able to defend anybody.
Just go back to the AFC Championship game in 2015 when we were in Denver. Nobody could make a play in that game except for Gronk. Nobody.
Yeah.
They just rode him consistently on that last drive to get into the end zone, and then they fucked up and didn't throw it to him on the two-point conversion.
I know. Mm. But, like, it's like no one's, you know, Cooks, there's a few, maybe less than half a dozen cornerbacks that can cover probably Cooks one-on-one or Edelman one-on-one. And maybe Gronk one-on-one. It's like, you're lucky to have one of them. Nobody has. I mean, there's 24 teams that don't have them.
I
don't know
what?
How people, like one of those guys.
Oh.
You know, cover someone man-on-man and one of these great receiving threats and kind of just shut them down. It's just, I don't know what people are going to do.
You like saying man-on-man.
That was
a nice slip right there. Yeah, I think you're going to have to see a lot of zone defense from teams.
And we all know what Brady does against that.
Yeah, and if Brady identifies it, then you're fucked. So, yeah, there's a big good luck to everybody. Good luck defending this. If the offensive line is as good as it was, if Brady's as good as he was, there's no telling how good this offense could be.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know, right? So that was one of the things that came just after the league meetings. The league meetings a week or two ago was like right after our most recent podcast. And the biggest news out of there, Oakland Raiders, no more. Moving to Las Vegas in 3 years.
Yep.
The fucking Raiders.
Go to Vegas. That?
I know.
It Such fits. A Raiders move.
I know. It does fit.
Such a Raiders move.
I don't know exactly how I feel about it. I feel like the Raiders belong in Oakland a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because they got that kind of outlaw thing. Everybody knows what the black hole's got going on there. But and then in Vegas, Vegas is a transient city. It's not like not that many people just live there.
Right. It's a lot of tourism.
It's a lot of in and outs.
I think I said it before. Like that's, you know, to have all these multi-million dollar 20-year-olds and early 30-year-olds in Vegas. Yeah. Like try keeping that locked down.
Yeah.
Good luck, you know? I actually read another piece, something about that I thought was pretty funny. Someone brought up a good point that the Bay Area is one of the most successful and lucrative areas in the world in history. You know, the amount of money they bring in. So it's like and Oakland couldn't figure out how to get any of that money. And now they're going to Vegas. It's like, I don't know. It sounds like bad business to me. You know, like, it's a good point. Like, one of the most lucrative geographical areas in the history of mankind, and they couldn't figure it out. It's like, Vegas is going to rip you to shreds.
Well, they were asking the government for money. They weren't asking, you know.
Right, because they don't make a profit. It's like retarded.
Well, I bet some of them would have gone in on buying part of the Raiders if Mark Davis was willing to sell.
I'm sure it was, yeah, exactly.
But why would you sell? Why would you sell? Your dad founded that team, essentially, and you have a crazy haircut, and you're not going to be able to do anything else. So stick with the team, move him to Vegas, and just have
Doesn't
a
he own
of,
100%?
I don't know how much he owns.
I mean, he could sell percentages of it.
Yeah, but who...
Get a little bit off your back.
Who wants to do that? I guess your investment
Probably
goes
a shit ton of people.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Look at them,
the
dolphins
are like that.
Yeah. Yeah, dolphins, I mean, that's not a good example.
Yeah,
but it's there.
His ex-husband's owns like 1% of that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? Well, the Raiders are still going to be in Oakland for the next 3 years, so it's not completely...
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more step to jump through. I think, it was the Oakland mayor was trying to organize something, but more than likely they're going to make that move. So it's kind of sad, but they've done it before, and they've wound up back in Oakland before, so who knows what's going to happen. Pretty cool for them. The other news coming out of the league meeting, did you see they interviewed Bob Kraft, and he's like, oh, yeah, I want Belichick to coach till he's 80, and Brady told me he's going to play for 6 or 7 more years.
Yeah.
These numbers keep inflating.
Yep, they keep going up.
Keep going up and up.
And Kraft even said last year that he knew when Belichick is going to retire. So
he said
the fact that
he said that
after the Super Bowl. Yeah, it wasn't after the Super Bowl maybe. So, and now he's saying he wants him to coach in the 80s. I mean, I have to say Belichick looks like the most motivated I've seen him in. I mean, he's skipping like league meetings and shit to go to pro days.
Oh, he would love to do that. He doesn't like league meetings. Are you kidding?
I know, but he's going he's been like more pro days than probably any of the other head coach in the league. I mean, I don't know, but
that's,
I mean,
his favorite thing.
It's just the guy's got the fire still. He's still, I mean, he just won the Super Bowl and he's scouting people. He doesn't have a fucking first or second round pick.
Yeah.
Like, he has no picks and he's out there searching, scouting everybody, seeing who's who. I mean, the thing I can attribute it to probably mostly is I think Belichick realizes or sees that he's finally got the team that he's always wanted. Like, this is the team he's wanted forever.
You think so?
He's been masterminding it for years. Like, I need this type of tight end. I need these type of linemen. I need these type of receivers. You know, with this, I have this. These type of, you know, this secondary. This the D line. He's like, I'm gonna go until this thing burns out.
Yeah, maybe, but he's always been doing that. He's always been a workaholic.
No, yeah,
and a football head.
But I mean, this, you would think he would. I mean, he just won, coming off two out of three, won two Super Bowls in 3 years.
That's no time to retire.
It's his fifth. I mean, you want to go out on top or at the bottom? I don't think he'll ever be at the bottom. But
this team is better than last year's team.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
he sees it. He's like, I have assembled the best players in football in one location. I have done it.
Yeah.
So he must be, he's just excited.
Yeah. I mean, he's all in.
He's all in.
Been all in, but he's still all in, even though
I feel like he's more all in, if that makes it. I know that makes no sense, but he's like the most all in he's ever been. He's just fucking going with it.
Once, the theme of the show, good luck, everyone else.
Yeah, literally.
Another piece that came out, Goodell said that he will attend the opener in New England. So everybody get your best booing ready to go. Start creating some signs. We gotta have some real good creative ones. I'd love to see it. He's going to get murdered. I don't mean that literally.
It's gonna be merciless.
Murderous boos.
Yeah. People are gonna be ruthless, saying all kinds of very mean things.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. And then Bob Kraft is like, I talked to a lot of fans. They all want to welcome him back. It's like,
who are you talking to? Yeah,
I've never met anybody who wants to welcome him back.
Everyone hates his guts around here.
100%.
I mean, we're still paying for it.
Yeah,
fourth round pick this year.
Not even that.
Boom.
The one we had is like early fourth rounder, and they fucking snatched that one up.
Yeah,
brutal. I can't believe the Pats went through with that.
It was a different pick than our first. They took the one we traded for?
Yeah, we traded for somebody's pick.
They're like, nope, we're going to take that one.
They took the highest one we had.
That's nice of them. That's why all these people are like, what are the Patriots fans still complaining about? Well, we're still paying for this shit, and we won the Super Bowl. So, you know, we won.
Why would you stop complaining, too?
We won, and you're still penalizing us.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We definitively won.
Okay, everybody knows that. We all watched the game. The other big piece of news, and this is probably the most active concern for the Patriots going right now, is the Malcolm Butler situation. He visited the Saints, and everybody knows that there's mutual interest there. And then at the league meetings, Sean Payton, the Saints coach, said that he wasn't going to sign Malcolm Butler to an offer sheet, and that's presumably because they'd have to give up the 11th overall pick.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
That's a pretty high price to pay. If you were going to give somebody like a market value deal on top of that, that's just a lot to ask.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean by any stretch that their interest is over. They're definitely still interested in him. Otherwise, why is that the only place that he's going for a visit?
I don't know.
Is that the only team that would think about it? Like, if you were drafting at the end, like the Packers, the fucking Packers, whose secondary was decimated last year, you're not going to think about that?
They don't trade for anybody, though.
For the 29th overall pick?
But when's the last time they've traded?
Well, it's not really a trade. It's a restricted free agent. But yeah, sure. they don't sign free agents either.
No, yeah. I mean, there's a couple other locations. The Cowboys, they really don't have cornerbacks right now.
They have had real bad luck with signing outward cornerbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to trade. Bill's not going to trade him to anywhere that he could come back and hurt us. We all know that. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a plethora of teams. Carolina, their secondary sucks.
Yeah, but they just proved they don't want to pay top dollar for a cornerback last year by cutting Josh Norman.
I mean, either way, if you looked at it, I'm sure you could come up with a couple teams. Who knows? I don't know. That's the only report that's coming out.
Maybe there's more stuff, but I feel like we would hear about it. I thought he would have more interest.
I'm sure he does. It's the first round pick that I'm sure any of the teams that are interested are like,
I don't know about that. So he won't sign an offer sheet there, which means that more than likely, he's going to be back on his restricted free agent tender to the Pats. And now Butler does have some leverage here, because if he signs his tender before the draft, we can trade him for draft picks right away.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if he waits and doesn't sign the tender, because you can't trade a player who's unsigned.
Who's not signed, right.
So if he waits, and he can wait until June and not sign his tender and have no repercussions whatsoever.
Yeah.
He could wait until well after the draft, then sign his tender, and then you kind of lose some of that reason to trade him right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't be able to cash in on those draft picks for another 11 months, and you're sitting there, well, why not just take Butler for a year and then deal with a conditional pick in the future?
Exactly.
So he can kind of force the Patriots' hand a little bit, which I really hope he does. Because I'm sentimental and I want him on the team, and I think him plus Stephon Gilmore gives us such a good secondary.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh my God.
That to go with
the best.
You got at the safety position.
It's arguably the best in the league.
Well, yeah, if you add McCourty, Chung, and Harmon to that, it is the best in the AFC.
Definitely.
Seahawks have something to say about that.
Yeah, okay.
Did you see the Richard Sherman thing too?
They may trade him. And he said he's open to it.
Did he?
He said he's like, I don't give a shit.
I thought he said it's a business.
That's what he said. He said it's a business.
Yeah, which is like downplaying that. But he's 29, and he's making top dollar, still top dollar. $14 million is still top of the cornerback market. And everybody said he didn't have a very good year last year. I didn't get to watch him that much.
I think he was playing hurt.
Yeah, that's why Pete Carroll said that. He said Richard didn't have such a good year. He was dealing with a serious leg injury. No, that's not faking an injury report at all.
Yeah, right. And then they got penalized, and then they won they overturned it. I don't know. Another thing about cornerbacks, Revis keeps popping up in the radar for the Patriots. I'm not against it. I mean, I think the guy's still got something left. I'm not one of these believers that he's just done.
Yeah, I don't believe he's just done either.
I mean, they're all like, oh, he's got nothing left of the tank. He got fat. It's like, well, he can lose weight, and the guy was incredible 2 years ago. All of a sudden, he just sucks that bad.
it's.
I think he, number one against number ones maybe, but like I think he can take it easily. Do well against twos and threes.
Yeah, but
like,
this is a guy that renegotiated his held out to renegotiate his contract consecutive seasons.
Yeah,
that's an ego right there. Is he going to be able to walk in and be the number three cornerback on this team? Because that's what you're going to ask him to do.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's finally realized that he's made his money.
Yeah, so why does he need to play?
Well, it seems like he wants to keep playing.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. He's still interested.
Maybe he just doesn't want to go out with such a sour note.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a lot of places he can go and be a number two cornerback and show how good he is as a number two cornerback still.
Yeah, maybe even take the number one spot, like literally.
He's not going to get that opportunity here.
No, but who cares?
I don't know. It feels like a little tail between his legs if he whimpers back to Belichick. Make me good again.
Why not? Maybe. What better place to make you good again than fucking New England? Come back, revive your career, and go get paid tons of money somewhere else. That's like what everyone does.
Nobody's paying him tons of money anymore. It's over.
If he came in, played incredible, someone would pay him. Guaranteed. Some idiot. It'd probably be the Jets.
What if they did it again?
It'd be like, oh my God, he's good again. Let's give him another $70 million.
I would shit my pants. That'd be ridiculous. So with Butler, the only leverage he has is that he can wait until after the draft. But from the Patriots' perspective, they have absolutely no reason to sign him to an extension right now unless he's willing to take a pretty substantial pay cut, because after the way he's played the last two seasons, totally injury free, matching up on number one players on the other team, some number one players, and playing very, very well, as I think we both agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
His stock could not be higher than it is right now, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So unless he turns in a first team all pro season, which, I mean, right now, if you're talking his market would be $14 million. He turns in a first-team All-Pro, what's that, 15? Maybe $16 million a year? Like, that would be astronomical.
You
hear
that much?
Right? No,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying, is that there's no reason to lock him down now, because even if he continues playing this well or plays better, the difference in price isn't that much.
Right.
But if he goes out and he gets injured this season, or if he has a dip in play, or if he gets exposed somehow, some part of his game, his value could come down.
Yeah.
And then you could maybe lock him up on a lesser deal.
Yeah.
It's a shitty way to think about it.
That's what I mean. It's a shitty thing to do to a guy who has
done
beaten
everything
the
right.
odds, you know, beaten the odds and done everything right.
Yeah. It sucks. But from their perspective, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely is logical.
Yeah. Like anybody sitting here.
It's unethical, but it is logical.
Sure, but you can't run a franchise ethically.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think so. The Pats have $22 million in cap space right now, and that's including Danny Amendola. So if he gets restructured or if he gets let go, that's an extra $5 to $6.5 million. So you're talking like $27-28 million in cap room. So people look at that and they're like, well, fucking sign him. You got tons of money, sign him. But first of all, you don't have to. And second of all, that money doesn't expire. It rolls right over into next year. You can use it later on. There's no reason to jump at it right now.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, thanks for just wrapping it up with a bow like that. I know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah,
I understand. We're here to talk shit about this. Not just, I don't know. We'll find out. If Belichick thinks it's a good idea, then it's a good idea. All right, that's it. See ya.
essentially, but yeah.
I know. It's a sticky situation. I would love for him to get paid, but he is getting paid this year. Just not, I mean, Stephon Gilmore got like $39 million guaranteed or some shit. So I would like him to get that money, but may not be in the cards just yet. Hopefully it is sooner rather than later. Another piece of Patriots news. We got the draft coming up in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 weeks from Thursday. So we're staring down the barrel of it pretty soon, and that's going to be a deadline of sorts for Jimmy Garoppolo, whether he goes on the market or not. And I haven't heard much recently.
No, I honestly, it's going to be a draft day thing. They're either going to pull the trigger or they're not.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything leading up. They don't. It's the Patriots. They're not going to show their hand before they have to.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with Garoppolo, and if that doesn't if there's no movement on his front or Butler's front, then we're looking at 72 overall for our first selection. So sit tight. It's going to be at the end of the night on Friday. You're going to have about
9 hours
of draft coverage before the pass get on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little different than what we're used to, where they typically have a lot of picks.
Right.
But, I don't know. Who knows what Belichick's thinking? Maybe he doesn't like the draft. Maybe he just liked his options better, picking up Brandon Cooks and company.
I think he did.
Probably that. I think probably that. Because from everybody that you listen to, this is a pretty solid draft. And one of the players in this draft who is drawing some criticism, he's a bit of a polarizing player, is Joe Mixon. He was a running back at Oklahoma. He got in an incident like 2 or 3 years ago, I think 3 years ago, where he wound up punching a woman at a bar. And then he was suspended for a full season by Oklahoma. And then he came back. In the last 2 years, he's played very well. And he's, I mean, I watched him play. I really liked Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield, that quarterback, is a boss. Who also legal trouble. but Joe Mixon, he's a borderline first round caliber running back, talent wise. But the Patriots came out and said that they took him. I don't know if it was an official thing or if it was like a source, but they said that he's off their draft board. And everybody knows Bob Kraft's stance on violence against women, and it's a zero tolerance policy. You're out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a thing that franchises have to figure out, you know, whether, because Bob Kraft said it himself. He's like, I believe in second chances, but for that, I don't, not in football. And it's like, all right, well, you're the boss. You can make your own rules. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
And then at the same time, we picked up Michael Floyd after he was outrageously drunk driving a car at an intersection. A very dangerous situation for anybody to put themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked him up like 2 days afterwards. So then part of you has to wonder, like, what, where is your view on forgiveness here? And I understand that Michael Floyd didn't hurt anybody. He didn't get into a violent crash, but he definitely put himself in a position to do that.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing happened with Alan Branch. He had a DUI. He got let go by the Bills. We picked him up like a day or two later.
Yeah. So, it's a weird line. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every franchise has to figure out their own priorities there.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It is funny that, you know, Kraft is definitely against, you know, like you said, he gives second chances. He doesn't give a good, he really doesn't care that much about driving, I guess.
That's the message I'm getting.
Not in the standpoint of, you can't play football for me.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he didn't hurt anybody.
Morally, I don't know, you know, he probably, I would assume, thinks it's a very bad thing. But when he's like, I'll give you a second chance. I mean, a lot of people do get deweys. You know, it's not like I don't know what the percentages or statistics are, but I would say
it happens a lot.
A lot more people get deweys than get caught for domestic abuse.
In the NFL? Just
in general.
In general? I don't know. That
there's
that
a shitload of deweys, but that would be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, I'm not just talking about the Patriots on this either. Like, the whole NFL, like, there's a lot of split decisions, and you have to think about, you know, he was 19. There was
at the time.
There was probably alcohol involved.
Or drugs.
Who knows? I mean, and you wonder, I mean, just outside of his own position or his situation, Joe Mixon's, like, people make mistakes at 19, and how do you got to judge them on an individual basis, I would imagine, on each situation. And who would you be comfortable not only having in your building, but presenting to your fan base as a player for your team? I mean, Ray Rice thought he was coming back to play.
Well, exactly. But like you just said, now your fan base, that could, you know, drunk driving is not a gender-oriented crime.
Yeah. Oh, so you got
domestic abuse.
Yeah. Well, what about
that? Now you're right. Adrian Peterson, that's children. That's a little different, but same ballpark. But I mean, if you're beating the shit out of women and now you're on the field or you hit a woman at some point, now you're on the field, maybe you're the woman audience is not as attentive. They don't want to be there. They don't want to see this guy.
Yeah, definitely.
And it could be the same. It could be the same with Adrian Peterson. I wouldn't say as much because it was a kid. And I mean, I don't agree with anything he did, but he did seem very, very remorseful of what he did, as opposed to Ray Rice, who was like, yeah, I made a mistake. Like, Adrian Peterson was like crying and had all these texts to his wife. Like, I can't believe I did that. I was just doing what my dad did, you know, all that stuff. Not to say that, you know, he's been forgiven or he didn't make a mistake or whatever, but it seemed like he, you know, that's how he was raised versus you know, domestic abuse. I mean, I could say maybe, you know, maybe some people are raised like that based on what they've seen, but it's a little more of a concrete line in the sand there, you know, like, don't do that, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
Child, you know, be hitting, you know, spanking your kids in different ways is not really as talked about.
Right.
In any terms of life. I mean, you never really hear anybody talk about what, you know, you talk about, you hear people talking about if they got their, if their parents kicked the shit out of them, but you never hear about people saying, oh, I kick the shit out of my kids all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen like that.
Nobody brings that up.
What do you do? You know?
Yeah. The Pats even brought Adrian Peterson in for a visit.
Yeah.
This week. And I mean, they took Joe Mixon completely off their draft board. And that shows how differently they look at that.
Right.
Same position.
Well, like I said, Peterson was a different, to me, it was a little different case because he said his dad did it to him all the time and he probably didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like you go to school and they're like, don't hit your kids with a swatch.
Switch.
You know, a switch, whatever it is. I mean, obviously you don't, you know, no one's promoting that at all, but it's something that's kind of, you know, I feel like there's a lot more domestic abuse issues brought up in schools and stuff like that. At least now, even when we were growing up. I mean, that was 10 years ago when we were in high school.
Yeah, definitely comes up a lot when you're watching football too.
Now, yeah, especially now.
All the time. It's just, I found it to be, it's not obviously a happy topic at all, but it's, I find it interesting to watch each franchise kind of navigate their way through those muddy waters.
Right.
And figure out where their principles are and where they stand on each different situation. Because Joe Mixon's going to get drafted. It's going to happen. So some team is going to look at him and say, you know, we talked to him or we looked at the situation. We talked to his coach, his parents, whatever it is. And they felt comfortable doing that. Whereas the Patriots
like
weren't even
willing to think about it. Like the Tyreek Hill situation.
Yeah, exactly. Tyreek Hill, for those of you guys don't know, Tyreek Hill was the offensive rookie and returner for the Chiefs this year. He was unbelievable. And he got in trouble for viciously beating up his girlfriend in college. I think she might have even been pregnant at the time.
Yeah, I think she was.
And it was real bad, and people really didn't like him. And on the first day, the day after he was drafted, they had to have a press conference and explain what they were doing. And, I mean, it was like an apology almost.
Yeah,
sorry,
like,
we drafted this guy, but he's really fast and I swear he's sorry. And it was kind of like that. It's like, oh man, how, that's when you realize, wow, this is a serious business.
Yeah.
And people passed on him until like the fifth round, even though
he probably could have been first round talent based on his production this year.
Yeah, well, if he played at a bigger school too, it would have helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a perfect example of a team weighing the pros and cons and then going, well, in the fifth round, you know,
yeah,
there's a reason they didn't take him in the first.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. I just find it to be an interesting topic. The last thing I wanted to talk about was today, Tony Romo, the guy who's been the source of untold, people wondering what he's going to do, where he's going to wind up next season, and the fortunes of which franchise are going to change. And today he hung him up. It's over.
Tired. He's done. So, is it definite? Is it 100% in the books?
All indications are yes.
So pretty damn close, but not, the check's not signed yet.
Yeah, like there was a source who told Ed Werder, and Ed Werder basically lives in Jerry Jones' colon, and he told him that this is for sure. You know, Tony Romo's done.
Yeah. Surprising.
But he's a free agent. You know, they cut him today, so he could sign with anybody. I mean, could you imagine using this as leverage? I retire, I sign this big contract with TV, and then somebody's, the Texans, who are just staring down the barrel of zero quarterbacks, going,
yeah,
oh my God, come back.
I don't think he would do that to Dallas. He would have told them.
Yeah, I don't.
Because they didn't give a shit where he went.
Certainly not to the AFC. They don't give a fuck about the AFC. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, it is interesting. I mean, you know, I think it's the right decision for him because I don't think his body can sustain it anymore.
Yeah, Tony Brittlebones. He played in like 3 games the last 2 years combined.
I mean, you knew his collarbone. I've said it a million times. His collarbone was going to break within the first 4 weeks of whatever team he played for.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it.
He's broken it at least twice. I mean, it's going to go again.
Probably 3 times. I think it's been 3 times.
Didn't he break his back last year?
Like, something bad. He's just, I mean, he's a ball. Yeah, his bag of bones. Like, he's just destroyed.
Yeah, they're not soft tissue injuries. His skeleton's falling apart.
The thing that I would, like, you know, everyone's talking about him like he's so great. Romo really hasn't done anything.
Ooh, ooh.
What do you mean,
ooh? You know he is third all-time in quarterback rating?
Passer rating, yeah, well.
Can you believe he's better than Peyton Manning?
He had the best offensive line for his whole career.
Not his whole
in
career.
In the league.
Not
yeah,
his
pretty
whole
close.
Oh,
most
dude.
At least the last 5 years.
You can make an argument for the last probably three or
four. He had, like, a bad offensive line for maybe one or two seasons.
Yeah, well, Tyron Smith was drafted in 2011.
Okay, so that's that could, 6 years ago.
And he played right tackle, I believe, as a rookie. They mm-hmm. had Doug Free at left tackle. And then I think 2013, they brought in Nick Martin.
The guy made the playoffs, what, twice?
He made the playoffs when he fumbled against the Seahawks. The Dez Bryant catch, there had to be something in between that.
I don't think there was.
There must have been. But he was a good player, and he was an undrafted quarterback.
For those who can't see, I'm raising my hands in the air because, come on!
What, you don't believe it?
I mean... All this shit of how good he is, it's like he was a choke artist. That's what every time I think of Tony Romo, I think of him making a mistake in a huge game. That's it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, real nice guy, undrafted, like you said, beat the odds, beat out, you know, what's his name? Oh my God, how am I drawing a blank here?
Drew Bledsoe?
Bledsoe, for Jeez, fuck's sake.
He was the second day. One to Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, so exactly. So, you know, he overtook Bledsoe. I mean, that was a pretty fucking good team he took over for there with T.O. on that team, Terry Glenn, and whoever the hell else they had. But he never lived up to it. He was always supposed to be next season. He was supposed to be the next season. Oh, he's going to be great next season. Oh, he's going to be great next season. And, you know, he always had a good passer rating. He had good touchdown and interception ratio, but he never won. I mean...
Yeah, he was.
Every big game he lost. Yeah. Is that a good quarterback?
He was a good quarterback. No, great quarterbacks win those games.
Right. Okay.
See, he was a good quarterback. You know, I'm looking at it right now. He made the playoffs four times.
It was four, really?
Four times.
But four the other times
in 10 seasons. That's pretty good. Look at Drew Brees. Look, I pull up Drew Brees and see how many times he made the playoffs.
That's true. At least he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, once.
So what? That trumps everything. You
well,
can win the
Dez
you can make
Bryant's
the playoffs.
Catch was called like everyone knows that catch was. Who knows yeah. what happens?
Yeah.
Why am I defending Tony Romo? So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just have a vivid memory of him. It was like week two against the Jets, the year they were supposed to be unbelievable. And what'd he do? He threw it to the one place everybody in the world that watched football knew. Don't throw it towards Darrell Revis on the final drive. What did he do? He threw it towards Revis. Revis picked it off, scored a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, he tried to throw like a deep out from his back foot. He just hung it out there. I remember that exactly. It was on prime
like,
time.
Yeah. I think we were watching Revis. It together.
No, I'm pretty sure we weren't.
We weren't.
we just both noticed that. Yeah, that was peak Revis.
And yeah, it was exactly. And you know, like you said, the Seahawks fumble. I mean, that was terrible. It wasn't his fault against Green Bay a couple years ago, but you know, for it to come down to one catch.
Come on, man! In the playoffs, on the road in Green Bay,
they could have done more.
I know.
They could have done more.
Yes, you know? That might be the story of his career.
He could have done more.
Yeah, he could have done more.
Unfortunately, I mean, that's terrible. If somebody was sitting here shitting on me about that, I'd be like, Jesus Christ,
yeah,
I'm rough. Coming back. Going back for one more.
Exactly. Even to the end of his career. You look at him right now. He's 37. He should be reasonably healthy. He has the opportunity to go to Houston where they have a team that's ready to go. He could have done more. He could have done more right there.
Could have done more. So he's going to broadcasting, and he's kicking out, or he's taking Phil Sims' spot, which I thought was, you know, being replaced nicely. But you are under the impression that he's kind of booting good old Phil Sims.
I think it's kind of crazy for somebody who just walked away from football, who's never broadcast in his life, and he's walking into the number one role and
at CBS.
At CBS, working alongside Jim Nantz, doing their top games. And kicking out Phil Sims, who's been doing it for like 18 years.
I know, it's crazy. That is crazy. I mean, they don't even know if he's going to be good.
Yeah, you have no idea. Did anybody watch Jerry Rice or Emmett Smith or Tiki Barber? Tiki Barber or Rondé Barber? I don't know, one of the Barbers. Tiki.
And Tiki.
They, like they walk right onto a set, and then within like 2 minutes, you're like, oh God, make this guy stop speaking.
Yeah, exactly. There's lists of these guys that have come through that just haven't been good.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not their fault. It just, it wasn't for them. And they are putting him behind the mic immediately, number one.
Yeah, and he's not even going into like one of those talk shows.
Training things. No.
Well, I was thinking.
If you do like a sports cast thing. Yeah.
I was thinking if you do one of the pregame shows, you talk for like 2 minutes total. Whereas he's going to be on the mic for 3.5 hours consecutively.
Just dissecting football.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, I hope this goes well.
Yeah.
Never done it before in your life. They must be incredibly confident. Or I mean, they probably hated Phil Sims.
Yeah. I mean, Phil Sims is fine. I mean, he's a pretty well spoken guy. But like you said, I mean, Romo, yeah.
Yeah.
But just to hand him
top job, it's
top
crazy.
Job. It's, you don't want to. And once again, like, Phil Sims was as good of a quarterback as him. Phil Sims won 2 Super Bowls. I know he had the best defenses around.
He won one Super Bowl.
One. Was it one? Okay. Would he get injured for the second one?
Yeah, there was a backup quarterback.
Okay.
Hofstetler?
So there you go. So what makes Tony Romo that majestic that he can just waltz into the number one? You know, like you said, he's a good quarterback. He wasn't. It's like not like he's Brady or Manning. Wasn't even close to them.
No.
Breeze, none of those guys. I mean, maybe he's better spoken, has a better, softer voice, you know, more of a TV voice or something. But like, what gives him like to kick out Phil Sims? What makes him better than Phil?
I don't know. Well,
I hope Phil's walking away. I really do hope he's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm out.
You're that into Phil Sims? Phil Sims was okay.
I think he's good.
Yeah, I thought he was okay.
I mean, he's not great. It's not like I love listening to him, but he does a good job. He's funny. He's got that funny voice, you know.
He does have kind of a funny voice.
And he stutters a little bit, you know. It's kind of funny. He's not unbelievable, but he's good. He likes the Patriots. I like how he says Tom Brady, how those words come out of his mouth sound nice.
You'd like no
reason to just can the guy.
Yeah, it's kind of
he doesn't
surprising.
Deserve that.
And his agent said that he's still got multiple years left on his contract with them, so I don't know what's going to happen. They had a nice statement. They were like, we're so grateful for everything he's done. We're looking for another role for Phil Sims inside CBS Sports. And it's like, what's your other role? You're either demoting him or what?
Maybe he didn't want to do it anymore. It's possible. You said he's been doing it for 20 years.
Well, then why would CBS announce it and not him? Why wouldn't they say, we appreciate what Phil Sims has done for us. We wish him luck in the next step of his career. No, they said that Tony Romo is going to be our number one guy. Phil Sims, thanks a lot. We're going to find another role for you.
I don't know.
They booted him. They booted his ass. You know they did.
I don't know anything. You're insinuating over here.
I'm pretty certain about it. I feel confident that's what happened to Romo.
All right.
What happened to Sims. So, yeah, it'll be cool. I'm sure he's going to be doing a bunch of Patriots games now. We'll get to find out what Romo thinks of Brady, somebody who stepped in. His whole career came after Brady's won Super Bowls and on both ends. Brady won a Super Bowl after Romo was finished and before Romo left college. And Brady's still playing, and Romo's going to have to call his game and be like, yo, this guy that's older than me is still playing, and he had success before me. He had more success after me. And he's like, what are you going to say? Guy's awesome.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. That's probably what he's going to say. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's such a great guy.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. He's a great golfer, too.
Yeah.
With Romo retiring, that leaves, like I said, the Texans in limbo. The Broncos have a better situation at quarterback, but Jay Cutler's on the market. I came on here before and said Jay Cutler belongs in Houston.
He might retire, too. He's like 34.
Is he really?
He's getting old.
Oh my He's God. Old. That happens so fast.
33, maybe. I mean, Romo's 30 fucking 7.
Yeah, but I don't know. Adrian Peterson's 32. When did that happen?
I know, right?
Like overnight, I feel like these players' careers end and it makes you understand why they fight for every dollar because they should.
Right.
Jay Cutler paid outrageous amounts of
money. I'm sorry, Jay Cutler's 33.
Yeah, well, he's made so much money.
Yeah, and it's still, I mean.
I think they should pick him up.
That's no spring chicken there.
Is Tom Savage the answer?
No.
Houston's drafting in the mid-20s. They have like 25, 25th overall pick.
and nobody seems that confident about any of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah.
So their options are pretty much Tom Savage, Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, or roll the fucking dice.
Hmm.
I got to think Jay Cutler is the best option there.
I'd be with you. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it should happen. But yeah, there's not that much going on right now. And we'll be back in a couple weeks to talk more in depth about the draft. I mean, we don't, should we even talk about, I'm not going to know any players after the top 70, and the Patriots don't draft until 72.
I know, right?
We should start scouting like gunners. They're going to draft a gunner. That's what they're going to go
I'm
for.
I'm not scouting gunners. It's the last thing. I'm not scouting fucking anybody because we're not going to get anyone we draft. We're not going to have a clue who they are because they're not even going to be on a draft board. They're going to be like some random fucking dude from Fresno State. Like, God knows who the fuck they are.
Yeah, who wasn't invited to the combine or some shit.
Right. It's like remember when we did, it's like the list goes on and on. Logan Mank, Vollmer. Remember him? Yeah. Everyone was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
who
Mel
is
Kiper
this
goes,
guy?
What? This guy didn't go to the combine. He's barely
ends
even
up being
in my draft
an 8-year starter, like one of the better right tackles in the league.
Second team all pro once.
Logan Mankins, Fresno State. Everyone's like, was he a 5th-round picker? Tavon Wilson. Everyone thought he was going to be like a 6th-round pick. We take him in the 2nd.
Yeah, that didn't work out for us, but apparently he's playing really well in Detroit.
Really?
That's what I hear.
Wow. I didn't know he was still in the league.
Oh, yeah, he got scooped up by Detroit. He's only like 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll probably be something like that. Nobody knows this player. They used to play in the European Flag Football League as a teenager or whatever it is.
They're a wrestler.
Yeah, he loves wrestlers at guard. Loves them. All right, that will do it for us. We'll be back in a few weeks. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can tweet us at the Pats Podcast. All the information's in the show notes. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Adios.
See ya.